Good morning, everybody. It has been a while since we've been on here, and there's been a lot of changes happening, a lot of changes in our life, my life. I totally uprooted myself and am now in a whole different state. So that's why we've been silent for a couple of weeks. But now I'm up and running, and now we're back on 100% to be with you guys. And we are going to sort of change things up a little bit in terms of how we open. So Pam will open us up with a she's gonna pull a card for the day. Kind of, and then we'll get into our topic. So
All
Pam, it's yours.
right. All right. Well, that was pretty easy. Like three shuffles and card came flying out, as you were saying, card of the day. So perfect timing. And it's the solar plexus chakra. So radiate illumination, radiant illumination. But the solar plexus, so it's the energy wheel right above the belly button. It's our self-worth, confidence, empowerment, boundary setting. So the beauty of the solar plexus is that it's really where our inner fire is, right? Our willpower, our alchemical fire, like whenever we have like that passion that kind of just burns from within, like it really can start in the solar plexus. And I think the more we are able to work around the self-worth and the self-values and setting boundaries and having self-love, we are able to rise in that power of the solar plexus. And just like the sun shining, right, and giving life to the earth, it gives us life from within. So definitely when the solar plexus is having issues and blocks, there'll be a lot of anxiety, stomach pain, bloating, indigestion issues. So understanding and listening to your body through the chakras can be so beneficial because we want them healthy and flowing. So yeah, just noticing your solar plexus and shining your light, setting boundaries and shining your light and self-worth is a good sum of this card.
Awesome. Thank you. And I think that goes in today's topic like really nicely, which is regulating your nervous system. So I do have a question for you that maybe you could speak into is like, how can individuals use this particular shot the solar plexus, the that particular part of their chakra system, how can they regulate that part of their body? Like, what is it that they can do to support that regulation?
That's a good one. Well, I know for me personally, I think grounding. Sometimes, like, you can just feel really off, right? Especially when, like, anxiety, panic attacks, you know, things like that happen, I think, to high numbers of the population on a daily basis. So it's really feeling safe and secure and grounded in your body. And breathing, right? Having those deep, long breaths into the stomach where you're bringing in the calming energy. Talking about the nervous system, right? And self-regulating. It's like you're trying to calm yourself down, rather than having that stomach all amped up and twisted and knots and, you know, in the pain or whatever. So the more that you can bring in the calming breaths and know, like, I'm safe, I'm grounded. And then working through it, really, I think that's the thing too, is try to understand what is the energy that's blocked there, or what is the energy that's being, you know, transmuted or released, especially around anxiety and fears. Usually we're living out of alignment, you know, the ego is blocking us, or keeping us in a comfort zone when the soul is trying to nudge us forward. So that can cause inner chaos that feels very uncomfortable.
I know, and I think from my understanding, like the solar plexus seems to where a lot of energy is getting like stuck for individuals, right? Like, would you say that, and in society, because you said anxiety, like, is that where anxiety sits, is in the solar plexus, or would it be anywhere else within the chakra system?
Well, I mean, I think definitely It depends on the person, you know what I mean? The type of trauma, type of wounds, you know, the current situations. Because the body holds on to everything, right? And I feel like stress and anxiety, we all carry those in different places of our body. But I feel like the stomach usually really is that right, that second gut, that brain that we ignore and we don't listen to. And so I think that's why like anxiety piles up so much in the stomach, because there's a lot more happening there that we're just not consciously aware of. And that we're not sure, especially when you're talking about boundary setting and your confidence. So for someone who it's easy for others, right, to bully them. You know what I mean? Like, 'cause they feel more empowered and entitled. So their solar plexus, you know, is going to be elevating and working at a different kind of frequency compared to someone who is really just a shell and a hermit and maybe gets bullied and picked on because they don't know how to like stand up for themselves. They don't really know how, you know what I mean? So it comes down to the self-worth and confidence and the boundaries. And I think it's really hard for us in our culture to feel safe while feeling vulnerable and to express our truth, knowing it's gonna maybe hurt other people. You know what I mean? It's a hard road to walk, especially when you have family members, you know, or jobs that you rely on. So it's like situations where you can't really maybe be so honest and open. So in that case, you're dealing with like a lot of the chakras, you know, multiple chakras blocked and interacting together. So then it becomes this whole body, you know, health issue shut down, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. I know a little bit about the chakras. I can't say that I'm an expert at it. And kind of what each point does or whatever, but I know the gut is such a huge, from a health standpoint, from a nutrition standpoint, and then the metaphysical standpoint, that the gut does hold a lot of information, and they do call it, they some people call it the first brain, not even the second brain. But I do notice that when I am feeling a specific way, it's usually in the gut, even when I'm tired or feeling lethargic or feeling I'm like, where am my body? Like I'll close my eyes and like, where in my body am I feeling this? And typically it starts in the gut. But I know that like in terms of regulating the nervous system, because that's, you know, that's what we're talking about today. And so that's the perfect card, right, for kind of opening the conversation dialogue, because, you know, regulating the nervous system is something that I've been working on myself. And I'm working on it because we as a society are already anxiety driven because of the workload, because of the way society's structured here in America. And you know, I know that it I had a book, even it's like anxiety is at an all-time high in the United States. And it's really because of the models and systems that we have, and a lot of it is drawing people into sickness, and really trying to figure out how to regulate the nervous system has become kind of a way of me walking. And what I mean by that is recognizing when my nervous system is off balance, when I'm not feeling harmonized in my body, or when I feel these traumas surfacing, or anxieties, or whatever it is, that before I act, that I learn to, like you said, breathe and get myself back into homeostasis, because that is like our body wants to be in homeostasis and it'll overcompensate. I think that's a lot of the reason why people are getting sick too, because it's going to overcompensate to try to bring it back. And so, you have all you're flooding your body with more chemicals or more hormones than it needs to bring it back to balance. But there's so much going on in the body that you start to get sick because it's like overcompensating to try to regulate itself. So it's like, what, you know, I've been looking at like, what do I need to do to regulate my nervous system? And I noticed that like when trauma shows up, you know, or something triggers me, that in the past, I think I would go into this like anxiety, you know, your heart's racing, obviously your stomach's in knots, all the things that happen, and asking myself, and then also communicating from that space doesn't necessarily help either because it's irrational. Pretty much like you can't rationalize your thoughts when you're in that state of being, right? It shouldn't be, because it's not rational. Like our feelings like that aren't rational. They shouldn't be. And so basically what happens is that, you know, typically people will either say things that they don't mean, or they'll hurt people, or they'll act out in haste, not able to come to that homeostasis. And usually it's because they're looking for maybe something outside themselves to regulate their system rather than like focusing internally and understanding how to regulate their nervous system when they're in those states of being. And it becomes very complicated, difficult to do. And so I think, you know, with individuals, like, it's like, what can we do, right? To regulate. I know that food is a big piece. Like I always go to the nutrition. Like we can control what we put in our bodies. And I know that there are foods that will heighten that anxiety. And if we can eat foods that at least can help regulate our nervous system, that are healthy, that's one thing, right? But then breath is like a huge one. The breath work.
Absolutely. I agree. Cause I realized, like I always hold my breath like years ago, I was like, when we were taking our classes and, you know, we're doing all these different breath work exercises and techniques. And I'm like, wow, I really truly hold my breath like all the time. And that's something I've had to put a lot of intention and practice around, just gaining the self-awareness and breathing with intention. Because even that can completely alter, and shift the energy, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And I do think like, it's funny because the breath, God, it's such a, people don't realize how powerful breath is, like how healing it is. You know, even so, I used to substitute. I know you teach as well, but when I was substituting, and I was substituting elementary, you know, my thing, even to regulate, you could even see that system as a nervous system, right? A bunch of kids and, you know, that whole to regulate them. I would always say, okay, everybody pause. I want you to take some deep breaths. And it's like, children understand the importance of breath because they never said, no, I don't want to breathe. Every single one of them would stop and every single one of them would take deep breaths. And it's like that regulation, because it's like, okay, you guys are so heightened right now, right? And we need to just kind of bring it down a little bit. And that breath really would calm them down. It would, and then they would be like, okay, I can settle into my body, right? Taking some deep breaths. And I don't think people realize how powerful deep breaths can be to regulate your system. Like, honestly, it's a really powerful tool that people can utilize instantaneously. But it's like the awareness of like, okay, this is showing up. Now I've got to like, I've got to take the deep breaths, right? Because it's like the remembrance of like taking the deep breaths too. Because as you know, when you're in the heat of the moment or in the thick of it, it's not always easy just to pause and take a breath. Sometimes you just want to punch someone in the face. Not that you're going to punch them in the face, but you know what I'm saying? Or someone cuts you off in traffic, or someone just flips you off because You didn't know that. I always talk about traffic because it's like the easiest one, but you're like, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to go, sorry. And they're flipping you off. And then maybe you want to flip them off back or something. You know, it's like, ah. But the breaths, right? It's like those deep breaths before, like, even in the moment of when it's happening, you're like, ah. To be able to be like, okay, pause, take a breath. And then try to move forward, right? And the significance of regulating the nervous system. So it's something that I've been practicing, something that I'm bringing my awareness to, and so that I can communicate clearly as well, because communication is a huge piece of it.
Absolutely. Especially when you are triggered, because that's when that reactive state just comes in, and that's when people get caught in like the kind of argumentative back and forth where nobody is making any progress or getting any points across. You're just both bitching out your wounds pretty much.
I like
And that was a
that.
divine that was a divine moment for me years ago, because it was in the midst of that heated like energy of trigger wounds. And realizing no matter what I said, this person's never gonna get it. Like, we're just gonna do this until eternity like freezes over and starts up again. And I'm done. Like, I don't want to be in that cycle anymore. So I just took a deep breath and finally like was able, I think that was the first time of this really higher self-awareness, you know, regulation, like that just really was a turning point. Like I said, it was years ago, so thank God it was a massive turning point. It's not easy though. It's not easy with those people who can't see it, and they just want to keep pushing buttons, and they just want to keep adding fire to the, you know, to it to get it burning and burning. And you're like, no, I just want to take my breath and walk away. And even as a parent, that's hard with kids. I've dealt with that in the, you know, the parenting relationship of butting heads for sure. And so communication, oh my gosh, so important, because if it's not there already, it's not going to be the time it magically comes together.
It's like, oh, we're night. Now we're able to have these communication, which is funny. Hi, Awaken Rahu. Welcome. Yeah, and I think with children, it's a big thing. Like that's a really, like, okay, like I always say, I don't have children, but you know, I do have nieces and nephews, and I could tell you that I have one niece who she knows how to push my button. She knows how to push everybody's buttons. She just like. And I, 'cause I'm pretty mellow, right? It's like I'm mellow until I'm not, and then everybody should run because it's like takes me forever to get like really, really, really upset to the point where I'm like, rah. But this child had the ability to, I could go from 0 to 100 in like 2 seconds. And I was like, well, wow. I don't know how she does this to me. Probably because I love her so much. I'm sure that's what it is, right? When you love someone so much, they just know how to trigger you. And
Yeah, there's a safety in that too, to be yourself.
let me tell you what, I could, I mean, I would, I was like, man, I had to like recognize in myself because I did go off on her a few times. I lost it. I lost it, completely lost it. And then you feel like, you know, I'm supposed to be the adult here. But man, there's just, and then there's sometimes you just need to do that too, I guess. You know what I mean? It's like there's a time and place for it as well, where you just lose your shit. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, that's the solar plexus and the boundaries, right? How much can you take and take before saying, like, I've had enough, you know, this is where I'm drawing the line. So it's, yeah, for sure.
Yep, the boundaries part, but the children for sure. And then, you know, I think with parents, you know, it's not easy because it's not like they teach parents how to do this, right? Like you have to like actively seek maybe a therapist or actively seek some kind of family counseling or something like that, right? Where you're just like, how do I deal with the child that may be difficult for me to deal with, or without losing my shit? Because it's not okay in society, right? By society standards, it's not okay for a parent just to lose their shit on their child, right? Because, well, we know the way society's going now. Children have more rights than the parents at this point, which is crazy, you know, where, you know, they could go get in trouble if they're disciplining their children in a specific way. But I think it's not okay to not have a space for parents to be able to, you know, talk about these things or talk about how hard it is to not lose your shit with your children. You know what I mean?
Mm. Absolutely. It should be taught as classes. I know, like, being in elementary school, like, I think it's way, like, we never had that. We didn't do yoga. We didn't do breathing exercises, you know. But being in there and subbing and teaching and going in different classrooms, back when I did that, that was the really cool thing of seeing how they are at least incorporating it. But I think it's so brief. It's only, like, the surface level, especially for young children when, like, they don't even understand emotions, you know what I mean? Learning to self-regulate, understanding, like, okay, everybody has a window of tolerance, right? And this is our comfort go zone, you know? And then you either go down or you go up, you know? And when you, it's hard to go through those, you know? And I think then, of course, it's, you know, mental illnesses and all of those labels and, you know, things happen. And that's when we start looking for diagnosis. But some things are just natural emotions and natural cycles. And when you can learn to how to regulate, like you said, through breath work, through self-awareness, through slowing down, you know, there's so many tools to use, as well as having therapists and, you know, other support system. But it's a practice and it takes time. And I think people are impatient too, especially with, like, with mindfulness and meditation. I don't know how many times I hear people like, oh, I can't do that. My mind can't do that. And it's like, it can, it just takes practice. You know what I mean? And even, like, our understanding of what mindfulness is and meditation is, like, people don't even truly understand that. They think they have to be like a blank wall, you know, and that's not true. And so I think, like, we really need to educate ourselves and keep re-educating ourselves as much as we can on, like, the body, the nervous system, the neurological, you know, because we're making new discoveries all the time as well. Mm-hmm. But it's, yeah, I think it would be way more beneficial if a 5 and a 6-year-old and a 7-year-old, you know, was in class and taught for a couple hours a day, right? Let's work through this energy. Because I was recently in a room in a school. They have, like, a padded room. It's all cement. Like, they are building schools with, like, you know, pretty much a closet area that's a padded room to put the kids in that are having massive freakouts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, I've and I've seen it in more than one school. You know what I mean? I've been in the classroom when the kids are losing their mind and they're just 8 years old and it's just because they can't, you know what I mean? It's about sharing or the project you're having them create. You know what I mean? So rather than shoving creative projects at them, maybe for an hour, we explore these emotions and these thoughts and these regulate, you know what I mean? And then, yeah, the parents, right? At what point does home life get educated on what school is doing, you know what I mean? And vice versa. Like, when are we going to be more, I guess, as a unity, educating, you know what I mean? Rather than you do it this way, I'm going to do it that way, you know?
That's really crazy.
Yeah, it's sad. It's so sad. I just, like, I had to fill in. They sent me over to fill in one day. I was glad I was only there for an hour, and it was so honestly, I just wanted it, like, the energy, the vibe of the room. It was just stressful and disturbing. I couldn't imagine being the child that has to get locked in that room when you're having a freak out. And then the adults are all stressed out because you're not paid enough. You're not taught enough. You're having safety training on how to deal with children attacking you that aren't your kids. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of stuff that people aren't really aware of in the school systems or that aren't talked about, you know? And learning how to self-regulate and learning to control your emotions. And you know what I mean? It needs to start at an early age, because what happens to that 8-year-old kid that's in a special classroom and locked in that closet area for their meltdowns because of their home trauma, you know, then they have to go out and figure out the world as adults. And now all that subconscious, like, foundation of who they become and turn into. And that's what we're dealing with, you know, in a different kind of sense today. I remember my father was traumatized by nuns, you know, and they used to be able to beat them in school and stuff and discipline them. So it's just, yeah, I don't know. It's crazy when you think about how we try to get it right, but how we get it so wrong.
I know. I think that's terrible. They're locking people in a closet. Like, what? That's like, wow. That's,
well, I mean, it's not like a little janitor closet type thing, but it's like, yeah, I mean, it's a small room, like the size of a small bathroom that is just cement. You know, there's nothing in there. And so they can't obviously hurt themselves or others. But the fact that they're building them in the behavioral departments of schools to begin with, rather than finding different solutions.
Yeah, that's terrible. That sounds like a prison.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the systems are pretty much the same.
It's like they are. I mean, that's what they're setting them for, right? It's like setting them up for that later on. And then, like you said, the only way they know how to regulate is by a room that looks like a prison. So it's like, oh, I guess I'll just end up in prison because that's how I regulate. And, you know, so part of it is like knowing the difference between the sympathetic and parasympathetic system, which I like to talk about, because that's like the big piece of regulating the nervous system, where, you know, you have this state of harmony and balance, where, you know, when you're dysregulated, you know, you're in fight, flight, freeze mode. And that does something to the body. It releases chemicals in the body.
It's described as like the gas or the brake. You're slamming on the gas, or you're like, you know what I mean? Or like, yeah, slamming on the brake. What does that do to the body and all the hormones, right?
Yeah. And it's so, and that's another reason why I think, you know, really talking about regulating the nervous system is so important too, because it's like, it's about health as well, because the more regulated you are, the healthier you're going to be, right? The more mental clarity you're going to have, the easier it is going to be for you to develop.
Yeah. Because you're not carrying all that stress.
That's right. And then you're able to drop into that creativity of whatever. And it does start when you're young. And I think as adults, you know, if you're working with children, like, I think that's an important thing, is like, how do you support the child and teach them healthy ways to regulate their system? You know, I know that like sports and stuff like that is a lot of, like, parents will say, well, you know, do sports or whatever, or run or whatever. I think for me as a child, it was walking. Like, I just needed to walk. When I was upset, I just needed to walk. I just wanted to walk. I wanted to just go. And it's the same as an adult. Once I'm done taking a walk, I'm fine. It's like, it just does something to me, just walking. You know, and teaching them. But even as an adult, it's like finding those strategies to help you maneuver through that, you know, when things are, even in your life, when things aren't going good, it's like, well, what do I need to do to self-regulate? And, you know, I think a lot of what happens is people turn to drugs. This is where we see, like, in the developmental phases of people, right? They'll turn to drugs to try to regulate or try to get rid of, right? Because a lot of people are trying to get rid of these feelings, which they don't go away. And so they'll self-medicate, They'll do all these things. And a lot of it too has to do with with culture. I mean, it's such a huge topic, but culture not allowing rites of passage to happen as well, because that's something that's been completely taken out. I think, you know, and I don't want to glamorize what happened in the past because I didn't live it, but we do know culturally that a lot of these different tribes had rites of passage for children, rites of passage for adults, rites of passage for elders. They even did the rites of passage in death, right? And so those things were part of the culture. Yeah. And we don't have that as a society. There is no initiation. There is no rites of passage. There is no real, I would say, we have the shadow side of rituals.
Yeah.
Instead of the healthy side. We've ritualized things in an unhealthy way. Yeah. And drugs is one of them, right? And so you're looking to regulate your system. I know I did. I was an alcoholic at one point. I liked downers, right? Because I was too, and so I wanted to be calm. I was trying to calm my nervous system, taking pills, doing stupid shit, right? Just dumb things. And in that, you know, I was really searching for a way to bring myself back to homeostasis. I wanted to feel okay. Mm. I didn't even want to experience what I was experiencing. In a way, I was like trying to escape the reality that I was living in. And I did that using alcohol and, you know, taking pills, because I'm like, well, this helps me escape into this fantasy world where I can feel regulated. But it was a false sense of regulation. Like, you cannot regulate the nervous system through drugs. It's just not possible. I shouldn't say it's not possible, because you can use, I believe, microdosing on, you know, specific things that are natural herbs, which I believe, but using pharmaceutical stuff is like, or just, like I said, the way that they've ritualized these things to help us to regulate our system is just harmful to the body. It rips it apart, right?
Yeah. And then you're still relying on an outside source that is not you to keep you running smoothly or operating, you know. When you're able to I think be more resilient in your own healing process and work on your own practices, then over time it becomes easier. And now I can look back and I'm like, holy crap, I've totally reprogrammed my brain, right? The neurological aspect of the negative to the positive, and completely have rewired my nervous system. And a lot of that has definitely been through the chakras. And working with each chakra individually, you know, at certain times to clear away whatever's coming up, because it's all interconnected and it's all one. So it doesn't matter what perspective I think you're looking at the human body, you know, if it's more scientific or more mystical, it's all like correlated and overlapped. Like we just need to empower ourselves by having a connection to our body and just being present with it and understanding that discomfort isn't a bad thing. And getting comfortable with the discomfort, again, builds the resiliency in you. It strengthens you. You know, there's so much personal growth. And I will say, like, you're talking about initiation and rite of passage. For me, it's been that plant medicine journey that I never sought out from an ego place. It was something that was a calling. And now, like we just did a powerful past weekend, and breath work, like before I even touched the psilocybin, just going through an hour of breath work, was so it removed so many layers. And it was a room full of people, like, you know, crying and screaming and just really tapping into like the pain and releasing it. And then, you know, to feel your body after such an intense hour where you're like a participant, right? You're willing. You're not going to hold back. You're willing to embrace it all and let it all out. You know, you don't care how you look or what you sound like. To come out of that, it's so beautiful. And then you can feel the energy, you know, like you've just shed all of this weight and all of this heaviness. So I think finding the practices that work for the individual person and giving time and, you know, dedication to those things, rather than trying it once and being like, oh, it's too hard. You know what I mean? I think we sometimes just take the easy way out because we just want to comfort ourselves, but we really need to just get comfortable in the discomfort and see what it's truly teaching us.
Yeah, I think the hidden traumas will stay there, right? So we think right. We're regulating our nervous system by just not going through it, which is not true, right? It's like the people that are like, oh, I just want to get rid of it, or they just ignore it. And the reality is you can't. You have to go through it. And right. And going through it is like so, it is uncomfortable. It's not a comfortable thing, but when you're learning it and you're moving through it and regulating the nervous system, for me is more of like facing the trauma and then finding a practice that can help me back to that homeostasis, right? Mm-hmm. Where it doesn't mean that there's not discomfort. And I always say this, and I have said this probably since I started this podcast, that the difference between a master and a beginner is not that the master doesn't experience the discomfort. It's that they're able to transmute it faster because they've practiced. And so it almost seems seamless that, you know, they're just regulating their nervous system faster. They're able to. And I think a lot of that has a lot to do with how, you know, maybe even, you know, this just came to mind that, you know, perhaps the monks or the individuals who have practiced mindfulness meditation or just meditation in general, that they are able to reach those states of bliss because they can regulate their nervous system faster. And that's mm-hmm. really what they're doing. It is regulating the nervous system. And like you said, there's different language for it. Maybe it's balancing the chakras or, you know, however you want to say it. It's just whatever language works for you, because I would say that regulating your nervous system is the same as balancing the chakras in your body, right? Mm-hmm. Being able to find that balance and harmony. And we do use different language, but at least we have the language, and the language helps us to express what's happening in the body so that maybe we can move through it or, you know, balance it out or overcome, or like you said, move through the discomfort. But you're absolutely right. And like, you can't ignore the discomfort. Like that's ignoring it or pretending it doesn't exist or trying to get rid of it. That's not true, right? Because it's, if you looked at a person or the holistic experience of being human, right? If you looked at the whole experience, we do experience suffering. Like there is no getting around that. You know, you can't get around that. It is part of our experience. And that experience of suffering is there for, it's to teach us, to educate us, to show us something, to keep us, you know, maybe alive even. And I would add that, like, the discomfort, sometimes the discomfort, yeah, it probably comes from perhaps our childhoods and may be there to help us grow as an individual. And I think we could ask those questions, like, if I'm experiencing this discomfort, this trauma, how is it helping me grow as a human being? What is it teaching me? What is it trying to show me? Rather than placing blame on it and then falling into sort of the maybe more the shadow side of it, I would say, because it's like, what I'm trying to say is, like, if you look at it, the trauma, and you look at it, is it necessary? Well, that goes into a whole consciousness question, right? Is it necessary? Maybe it isn't, but as a species, a human species, we rationalize shit. You know what I mean? Like na other nature doesn't do that. It doesn't rationalize, why it's hurt. It's not sitting there thinking, why am I hurt? Or, oh, why did that bird take my worm? And now our Or they're not saying, oh, that bird's nest is bigger than mine. They must be more important. Like, they don't do that shit. Like, we put all this unnecessary trauma into our life, right? Like, it is part of the human experience. Like, we're not going to get around it. We could ignore it and act like it doesn't exist, but it does.
Right, so we
And
cause our own suffering with the
we
mind,
cause our
like
own suffering.
overanalyzing
Exactly.
everything.
And we do. And it's, it, and, But can we get away from that? No. So how do we work with it is the question, right? Because we're not going to just go ignorant and just be mind that kind of goes against the laws of nature or wants to. It's almost rebellious against the laws of nature, you know? And I think that rebellion against the laws of nature has been the reason why we've caused our own suffering. And then we, and by doing that, we've dysregulated our system completely, right? So, it's pretty interesting to me, but how do we then come back to, and this is kind of goes back to the what I was saying, is how do we harmonize with the laws of nature as closely as we can, because we're still going to be defiant against the laws of nature. Like we are defiant. We don't want to, we want to push the envelope and rise above it, right? It's not
I
realizing
think,
that it's gonna win. It's gonna win. Nature's gonna win. I don't know, but humans can't. You know what I mean? We try to defy the laws of nature. Is I
Yeah,
is
I'm thinking like that's where the ego is kind of separates itself, right? And puts itself on the pedestal and like thinks it's the best and the ruler of the world. Doesn't see how it's connected to everything. Oh man. I think I had something I was gonna go with and now I'm like losing it. But yeah, I think surrender. You had said something like what comes next or whatever, what would that look like? But I think that's where you have to reach a level of surrender and trust so that you feel like you're flowing. Otherwise, if you're just this forceful current trying to control everything, right? That's where the ego, I'm seeing the ego part. We can't, we just can't. And that's where we set ourselves up for disappointment. We set ourselves up for suffering because in our mind, we have created this picture that we were going to force into like a physical reality. And then when we get that awareness of like, no, you are only supposed to learn a lesson and move on. You know what I mean? That's when the ego and the soul like to kind of have that Jekyll and Hyde inner battle. And then we shut down, right? Because then it's like this lack of trust now. I don't know who to believe, my head or my heart. I start closing off, you know, the heart space because God knows I don't want to feel that again. But then what does it do? It just repeats the cycle because the heart is like, no, you need to embrace love. You need to open. This is why you're in a human body. So I'm just going to bring you more lessons and more tests to see if you can do it. And so, like, I think when we just get out of our own way and stop trying to analyze it, label it, and just look and see what is this teaching me? What can I learn? It's not good or bad, right or wrong. You know, I don't have to hold on to all of these people that come and go. We just surrender and we flow through life in a more trusting state, that what's meant for us is serving a purpose. And even recently, I'll tell you, I've had a huge perspective awareness change where I've gotten some flashes of the past and totally saw how, oh, that was the universe definitely protecting me. By removing them and removing that situation, like that was a universe completely having my back and protecting me. And in the time I thought, you know, like, here it is, just another cycle repeating, or you know what I mean? So I think when we can just step back from it and stop like causing our own suffering by trying to label it and understand it and just recognize its energy, right? Thoughts are energy thoughts, emotions are energy. it's looking at, I think, the ego's vulnerability and its fear around that, or soul's vulnerability and then ego's fear around that.
Yeah. And it's crazy. It's crazy how we, humans, interesting. Yeah. Like we're causing our own suffering, and part of it's conditioning. Mm-hmm. Well, all of it is conditioning, actually, I should say, just conditioning from when we're young, you know, the conditioning from our environment, from the people that we're surrounded by. And that, honestly, if we looked from the developmental perspective, it's like when we were children, our environment kind of gave us that base programming, or that base, I don't even want to say programming, but that base understanding perspective of the world, that kind of then radiates through the rest of our life. And that right there, if you or individuals can, even me, get to kind of that root, that core of that programming, because at the base, or if you looked at the core or the essence of who you are, and you're able to peel back all the layers and see. Now, I would say this, where I always talk about James Hillman, where it comes in, is it a good seed or a bad seed, right? I don't know if it's good, right, wrong, but is it a shadow seed or is it a light seed, I guess you could say, or something like that. But in that, at the core foundation, the essence, that is the true nature of who you are. And I think that comes when you were innocent and there was no conditioning from the environment around you, which, I mean, we could take that back. They'd be like, well, the womb and all that stuff. But let's just, for this sake of development, talk about, you know, the child from when they were little and maybe their first remembrance of something when consciousness came into play and they were able to see and understand the world. If you were able to go back to that, what is the true nature of who you are internally? That all of those things that came after were kind of leading to this box that people wanted to put you in, which led to the suffering, right? So then we would call that trauma, right? It was like, well, you're this or be that, or society's cultural norms. You have to be this way or that way, and you couldn't just be, because society already came with these preconditioned things that they're like, no, you have to be that. If you're going to function inside, you have to be that, and you have to be this. Or you came from an environment where your parents were maybe not in the best condition either, and they were on drugs, and they were, then who knows, maybe they just beat you, who knows, right? The circumstances that you were born into, the environment that you were born into, sort of shapes the traumas or the suffering that we have as adults. And so what I'm trying to say is that, like, as we get older, if we're not looking at these, if we're not aware, if we're not self-aware, if we're not self-regulating, it piles up. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes this external, it's them, not me, mm-hmm. kind of thing, where it's like, oh, but am I learning how to regulate? How come I, you know, how did these things when I was young contribute to how I responded to situations? Because that's how regulating the nervous system is. It's how we respond in a situation that's totally uncomfortable or mm-hmm. feels like a threat or feels unsafe. And a lot of that came from when we were young. Like if we felt, you know, like those kids in the freaking, they're going to feel unsafe. Perhaps it makes them feel unsafe to be in a room by themselves with nothing on it. Like that could be a fear that's embedded in them, right? As adults, and becomes a trauma. And then when they're in a room that has, they might flip out, you know what I mean? So But we don't see that those results, right, the conditioning that we're trying to do on these kids or children has an impact as they get older and become adults. And then we as adults don't know how to regulate our system because we haven't been taught another way. We haven't been taught how to say, okay, I know that I panic when I'm in a room that looks like when I was a kid, what they used to throw me in or this room so that I, but now as an adult, that's unsafe for me. It caused all this trauma. And maybe as an adult, the way that I act out is through violence, by punching the walls or something and not realizing like, shit, I need to learn how to regulate that. You know what I mean? In myself, in the environment, what can I do to help me bring myself to homeostasis? Know that I'm safe. Know that this environment is like, no one's going to harm me.
Right.
And then be able to move through the discomfort. But it is those, it is that base conditioning that started when we were children. Because if you think about children, like if you just were there and just let a child be who they are, I don't know what would arise, right? You just don't know what would arise. We couldn't, we can't, I don't think we could even ponder that because that's not how society works. That's not how culture, that's not how human beings work. We don't operate that way. Which, you know, it's just interesting, right? Because in nature, you see that, you know what I mean? You see that the parents kind of teach them the basic skills. If you looked at like, you know, I don't know, animals and like elephant, and like these different, they kind of teach them had survival skills to survive. Yeah. And then the child learns and then it goes off and does its thing.
Right.
We don't necessarily do that.
No. I know. I tell my boys that when they're like wrestling all the time. Cause it's funny. Boys do that, right? Though, like little tiger, lion, cubs. And they need to do that play wrestling. And it's funny how like you just kind of see that behavior in young boys. But then they get older and I'm like, oh, you should join the wrestling team. And they're all embarrassed. And they're like, no, I don't want to wear the uniform and all that. But I'm like, but that's your natural like instinct you've had since birth that like wants to be released and seen. So I don't understand. But yeah, as women or girls, like, I don't know. We never did that. We didn't want to wrestle. And I feel like we were just given dolls and kitchens to play with to prepare us. But I don't really feel like I wanted to learn to make a pie at four. So like,
I honestly would have been a carpenter, I think, if my natural essence was to like work with tools. I have this obsession with tools and like screwing things in and like.
That's cool.
I don't want to go into what everywhere. Freud would have said about that. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. It'd have been all out your head. It's sensual. But anyway, let's not go that route. But, I had this thing with tools and working with my hands and like pushing buttons and like the technological stuff and like the handy dandy things, you know what I mean? The electric stuff. And that's what I was interested in. And like, I used to like, it was funny because like I would get like, so I remember they gave me this like Cabbage Patch radio when I was young I was curious to see what would happen if I put it in water. Well, course I didn't know what would happen. So I did and it broke. And then I was like, oh, but I could probably fix it. So in my head, I was like, I can fix this. And so I started to unscrew it and take it apart. And of course, I didn't have anybody there to help me figure out how to fix the thing, right? But I had it in parts and I wasn't upset that it broke. I was excited actually that it broke because I was like, oh, now I could take it apart and I could see like pick it apart and see what's going on inside and like the electron, like, you know. So I had to like make my own toys because yeah, exactly. They would just be like, oh, here's, you know, I don't know. Actually, my parents didn't really buy me Barbies and stuff like that, but I wanted more like tool-based stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And then back then it wasn't okay, right? Because it's like, girl and da da da. But it's funny too because like it is funny because like yesterday, so my sister, she was like, "Oh, I'm gonna buy this, this unit." She's like, "You're good at doing all that stuff. Can you put it together?" And I was like, "Hell yeah!" So I get excited, right? I'm a carpenter by numbers or whatever. I like things that I can put together and like a puzzle or whatever. So, there I am putting it together and like just finding this joy in doing it. Like, I just, it's fun for me. I'm like, oh, this is fun. I just want to put like furniture together and screw things in and, which is funny. But, and part of that is too the sensory thing, regulating your sensory stuff. Like, that's another thing because we talked about breath work, but also, touching things, because I think when people experiencing anxiety, they think that they have to think their way out of it, and you don't think your way out of anxiety. It's a set, it's a feeling that sensory things help us to move through the anxiety, being able to touch things, being
It's
able
probably
to,
like
and it
animals,
helps.
right? We go to our pets.
Yep, and it helps us to regulate the nervous system. But I think
It's true. I
that
wasn't even thinking about that. You're so right.
yep. And like, yeah, if I had something to put together when I'm in anxiety, I'd be like my whole brain would be on that, and then I'd be touching things and clicking things in and building my bookcase and my, my desk, and I get all excited about that stuff. And just working with my hands helps me, to regulate. So, I think that we, I guess at the end of the day, even if we do cause our own suffering and unnecessary suffering, and or we are having suffering from trauma, as children into adulthood, that there are ways to regulate the nervous system, and actively working on it and knowing that it is, there is not, it's going to be uncomfortable, basically, but moving through the discomfort so that you can come to that homostasis, I think is critical.
Absolutely. And finding healthy
Anything?
outlets to do it. Like art, like you said, right? Creating, building, breath work, meditation, nature. There's so many ways to just find what works for you on a personal level. So important. So needed too, because then we wouldn't have road rage drivers that make easy examples for us.
That's
It's
correct. Or,
true.
yeah, exactly. People that are like, go ahead. Just go ahead of me. That's fine.
Great.
Instead of what shall I get hide? I'm like, no. So there you have it. I think we're coming up to like an hour now. But thank you guys for joining us. We'll continue the Tuesday podcast now that I'm actually settled in my new environment. And then, you can follow us on Women of Consciousness on Instagram, Facebook. You can visit our website. We're going to be updating the website here in a little bit. I think like Pam and I are aligning more to the essence of what Women of Consciousness is, which that's hard because consciousness is such a huge thing. But we'll be updating the website for letting women know that Women of Consciousness is opening up the space for all women who are looking to unify within themselves, love and grace and all that goddess energy that exists within them. So self-love and all that self-empowerment, but using, yeah, and using developmental psychology, I think is probably where we're headed, in terms of like, how do we develop into this unity consciousness, working through these maybe just various points in our life, initiation stages, if you will, and how do we transcend them, or how do we expand our current scope of consciousness so that we can then experience a life of bliss and love and harmony and all that good stuff.
Absolutely.
So then go to our, but you can go to our website, womenofconsciousness.com. We do coaching. We also do readings. You could reach out to us and we can see if you're a good fit for us. Cause that's what we want to make sure that we're a good fit all the way around. And then Pam, do you have anything else to say?
No, that's it. Just super excited to kind of be back in our flow. Right. I think that's the one thing that's been super helpful for us is that we just kind of surrender and go with the flow and we're not trying to force anything. And, you know, we know when we need those breaks and when, you know, life has other things that take front seat. And I think, you know, advice for just any of the listeners is just try and find your flow and surrender so you're not overwhelmed or feeling like you're drowning or, you know, trying and getting nowhere. Just surrender and let go and be open to what the universe has for you.
I love that. Awesome, possum. So love and light. We'll see you guys next week.
Yep.